Well, it's so good to have you all with us this evening. This is always the best sermon you ever hear in this church. What you'll hear tonight is the testimony of someone who was lost, someone who was spiritually dead, someone who was doing their best but wandering around in this world like a blind person. And God used the circumstances of her life to draw her to himself and transfer her from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Tonight, she's going to be baptized, Rachel. She's going to be baptized. And baptism is simply an ordinance commanded by Jesus Christ. He said that we're to give our lives to Jesus Christ, and then as a public proclamation of what's taken place in a person's heart, we're to be baptized. It's a public statement, really an illustration of an internal reality, an external picture of an internal reality. Baptism demonstrates unity with Jesus Christ. It's a public commitment. I live for Jesus Christ. It's a public demonstration of my obedience to Jesus Christ. He said that we should be baptized, therefore I will be baptized to declare my faith in front of the family of God so that they might know that I'm a true follower of Christ and so that they might be able to hold me accountable for my walk with the Lord. It's a testimony of newness of life. It speaks loudly of a new purpose and a new focus. It speaks of a dependence on God. It speaks of a boldness to share Jesus Christ, a commitment to live a sanctified life, a set-apart life, a life lived unto her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a step, a picture, an illustration of walking in obedience to the Word of God, a commitment to live for Christ. It communicates all of those things. It's a very graphic illustration of what's happened in a person's life. When Rachel is taken under the water, that pictures death. When she's submerged under the water, that pictures burial. And then when she's raised up out of the water, it pictures resurrection or newness of life. Those are illustrations. Those are pictures of an internal reality. The Apostle Paul talks about this in Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. He says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." When Jesus Christ died on the cross, a sinless, perfect God-man, God incarnate, the Son of God, when he died on the cross, that sinless, perfect man took the sins of all who would believe upon himself, died in the place of Rachel, of me, of all of you who are true followers of Jesus Christ. He died. The evidence that he died on the cross was the fact that he was buried. And then he rose from the dead. Baptism then is a picture, an illustration of that internal reality in Rachel's life. I want you to be faithful to pray for Rachel. She's a student at the Master's University, and God has blessed her in so many different ways. It's just been such a joy to watch her grow in the Lord, watch her excitement for the Lord. And so you be faithful to pray for her. And pray for the days ahead for her. And we'll have opportunity to greet her following the service today. For those of you who don't know you, you will fall in love with her. She's joy, and that's because of what Jesus Christ has done in her life. And so listen carefully as she shares her testimony this night. And I would encourage for those of you who are true followers of Jesus Christ, as she speaks, you be faithful to pray for her. And as she speaks, you remember your testimony and what God has done in your life to save you from the penalty of your sins. And for those of you here this evening who do not know Jesus Christ, ask that God would open your eyes to comprehend what she's talking about, why this is so important to her. This is not a religious thing. Hell will be filled with religious people. Hell will be inundated with religious people. This is a picture of a relationship with Jesus Christ that's far more than a friendship. It's the guarantee of eternity based on God enabling her to comprehend her need for a Savior and her acceptance of Jesus Christ as that Savior. Rachel?
Hi, my name is Rachel, and this is my testimony. My life without Christ was a complete mess. I expected myself to be perfect at everything I did. I never gave myself grace and continuously hated when I made mistakes. It was not a righteous hate of my sin or mistakes, but rather a merciless, continuous expectation of perfection. I was a hypocrite. While I was expecting myself to be perfect, I was sinning terribly. I was idolizing the relationship I was in. I refused to submit to my parents and used their behavior as an excuse to continue my rebellion. I lied to them about almost everything in my life and definitely everything in the relationship I had. I lied to my whole family about it as well. And I wanted to leave my parents not to be a healthy grown adult, but to be independent of their authority over me. I deeply struggled with anxiety, which a lot of it came from being in the relationship that I was in and lying about it and my own sin and rebellion. I looked everywhere to fix my anxiety and eventually felt hopeless and accepted it as a part of who I am. After years of lying and covering up every red flag of my relationship, God revealed it all. Every sin, lie, and deed was brought into the light. I wanted to cover it all up again, but I knew at that point it was too late. My parents told me I needed to leave the relationship, but I fought and refused, partially out of rebellion, but also out of fear that he would commit suicide if I left, because to him I was his lifeline. For 3 weeks, I tried to keep the relationship together. By God's sovereignty, I had an opportunity to visit my sister around when it was all revealed. After my visit with her, I stayed an extra week with my cousin to discuss biblically what was sin in my relationship and why I needed to leave it so badly. Before I had been with my cousin for 24 hours, I heard a sermon at Grace Community that spoke of heeding warnings and that if you ignore them, then you are going down a horrible path and be headed straight for hell. Hearing that sermon made me realize I really don't know what I'm doing, and that through the crying and fighting with my mom, she was right. Not only did I need to run away from the relationship, but I needed to run towards the Lord with all I have. I removed myself from that relationship, and now 2 years later, the Lord has blessed me with an amazing man I couldn't have come up with in my wildest dreams. I still struggle with anxiety after being saved, but the difference is that I have an unfailing hope. I work through my anxiety by reading God's word, praying, and taking every thought captive to Christ. I still struggle with it now, but it is much less frequent, and I have learned my identity is not in my anxiety or trauma, but Christ. My identity is Christ's righteousness and God's mercy in saving me. I am choosing to be baptized because I want to give a public display of my true faith, and I want to be a testimony to those around me, showing them that I am different. I am a child of Christ, and I desire to walk that way. I love God's word, and I want to follow it with all my heart and life and surround myself with people who can encourage me in my faith. The scripture verse that is most meaningful to me right now is Psalm 139:13-15, which states, "For you are you created my innermost parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you because I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully formed in the depths of the earth. This verse reminds me that no matter what I don't like about myself, physical or a physical appearance or anything else, that God didn't make any mistakes and I'm the only Rachel Coleman in the world. There is only one of me, and God made me perfectly the way He made me, not making any mistakes in physique or the circumstances of my life. I know for sure I am saved because I have seen the Lord work in my life and in my heart since I've put faith in Him. He has answered my prayers I didn't even say out loud or pray, but I desired. He has given me peace through my consistent struggle with anxiety, pointed out my sin through people around me, given me strength to respond in a godly manner and ask for forgiveness of that person and to God. He has given me a heart of submission towards my parents and a desire to submit to my future husband, and given me a deep desire to be a worker at home, showing the testimony that it shows to the world. He has given me a love for His word and a desire to be obedient to it, no matter what comes in my life. Through people around me, He has encouraged me to pray more for everything that is happening in my life, and He has graciously answered my prayers since I've been saved. If He hasn't answered certain prayers immediately, He has given me a heart of patience and trust in Him, knowing that I have no power, and He is working in my life, even if it doesn't have an immediate effect.
Great. Thanks, Rachel. Great testimony. Faith in Jesus Christ. Let's take this apart, okay? What is salvation?
Salvation is being saved through grace, or saved through grace by faith in Christ. Christ's death and resurrection on the cross. We couldn't do it on our own and we didn't earn it, but Christ was lived a perfect life and died and raised from the dead as a substitute for sinners that could never atone to God's holiness.
So saved. Christians say that all the time. I was saved. Saved from what? What were you saved from?
We're saved from the penalty of our sin, which is death, and a holy God can't accept sin.
Okay, so God's standard is holiness. You shall be holy, for I am holy. That's Old Testament and New Testament. That's the standard of God. We're all sinners. Sin is any word, thought, or deed that goes contrary to the perfect, holy nature of God. So we're all sinners. We all miss the mark, the Bible says. We fall short of the glory of God, which is sinless perfection. So unless God steps into our life and opens our eyes and hearts and minds and ears to comprehend truth, we can't know the truth, because we're spiritually dead. Spiritually dead people can't do anything. So God saved you from the penalty of your sin. He didn't save you from a bad boy, right?
No. It was not the relationship that I was in. It was the sin that I was contributing in my life that just happened to be through that relationship specifically.
Okay, and so in essence, God used a very painful thing in your life to open your eyes to your need for a Savior. If it wasn't real, you would have traded that false idol for another false idol, and you'd have been in the same mess again. So it's important to note in her testimony that God did not save her from a bad relationship and then He blessed her with a good guy. That's not how it works. Ian, who I've met, is a great young man, and God has blessed her with this new relationship. But that's the frosting on the cake. The bottom line is God could take Ian away. And if He were to do that, how would that impact your relationship with Jesus Christ?
It would cause me to rely on Him more, because as I've had many discussions with my mom, that if everything was good in our life, then we wouldn't be on our knees praying, and we would just be like, oh, everything's fine. But it's when we're in trials and really painful things that God is really bringing us to our knees and exposing our sin of either our lack of trust or needing to have more patience or anything that goes against Scripture. So if He took this relationship away, I would know it was, as the Old Testament states, for my good, even if other people use something for my bad, that God uses it for my good.
Yeah, God ordains, in other words, God ordains all things, good and bad, for His glory, for His ultimate glory, and He'll use those things to get our attention, sometimes to discipline us, to chasten us, sometimes to bless us. And what your mom said is so important to remember. No human being, and this is the big lesson you learned through this, no human being, it doesn't matter who they are. You could have the best husband in the world, the best wife in the world, the best kids in the world, the best job. No temporal thing can satisfy. Only Jesus Christ can satisfy. And sufficiency can only be found in Him and in His Word. We know Him best by filling our heart with His Word. And that's one of the great lessons that you learned there. You also learned the lesson that when we're involved with sin, when we're chasing sin, it cuts the blood supply off to our brain. So we end up doing dumb stuff. I mean, as you look back on it, your parents, it wasn't that your parents didn't want you to be happy. It's that your parents could see things that you were not able to see because sin had blinded your eyes at that point in time. And so, in essence, what a wonderful thing, as difficult as it was, what a great thing that God used all that to draw you to Himself, and so that you could know today that, yeah, it's great, He's blessed you with a great guy, but more important than that, He saved you from the penalty of your sins. And should you die tonight, you would wake up in the presence of Jesus Christ because He paid the penalty for that sin. You mentioned anxiety, struggling with stuff. It's an issue lots of people struggle with. And the solution is always the same. It's to take your focus off the circumstances and put them on the Creator, right? And we find that when we're anxious, and of course we're not to be anxious for anything, but when we're anxious, the lesson is we're looking at the wrong stuff. We're focusing on the wrong things. And as you said, it's God's little nudge to say, hey, focus on Me. You know, find your sufficiency in Me. Now, you were baptized before, right? This is the second time. What happened the first time?
The first time, it was, I was tricked by people who told me that they were Christian, and I was believed that I was saved just because I went to church and I listened to the sermons, but my life Monday through Saturday looked nothing like how it says that my life needs to look in Scripture.
Yeah, I mention that because that's true of a lot of people, Rachel, who end up being baptized a couple times because when they're young, peer pressure and things like that. And in your specific situation, you had people who didn't understand the gospel, who told you were saved. You were told you were saved because of external stuff you did. Now you know it's meaningless. Baptism doesn't save anyone. It's a picture of the fact that you've been saved. And so this time the picture's real because the reality of Jesus Christ in your life is so evident to you and to those who know you and love you. One other thing, you quoted Psalm 139. Mm-hmm. Why did you quote that passage?
This semester I've been meeting with my RD pretty frequently, and we've just been talking about modesty and how to have my focus not be so much on the physical attributes of myself that I don't like, but rather how can I glorify God with what I wear, what I look like, and am I worrying about what other people think of my outfit, or am I worrying about what God thinks of my outfit? Because the ultimate goal as a godly woman is to glorify God in our outfits and how we dress.
Yeah, that's such an important point. The reason I ask that question is because so many young girls struggle with these kinds of things. And the fact of the matter is so many young guys struggle with these things as well. And we live in a world that tries to squeeze us into its mold. And as true followers of Jesus Christ, we need to rejoice in how God made us. I love you say there's one Rachel Como, and there is. We love that. We love that about you. And that's so true. And He made you uniquely with your special giftedness so that you can minister to the body of Christ like no one else can. And so that's in a very important point that I don't want especially our young people here to miss. You said it well. Our focus is on God, being content with what God has done in our life, and praying that God would use those insecurities for His honor and His glory, again, as we get our eyes off ourselves and onto Him, right?
Yes.
Well, every testimony is great. This is a great testimony because of what God's done in her life. Based on your testimony of faith in Jesus Christ, it's my privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father. Where are you going? You've done so well. You've moved slowly this whole time. I'm so proud of you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Good job. I hope you get to know Rachel. She is an absolute joy. She really is. And we're so grateful for what God has done in her life. We're grateful she can be part of this church. We're grateful that we will be together for all of eternity because her salvation is so real. And so we thank God for what we've heard this night. You be faithful to pray for her as she goes back to school. She finishes up. You be faithful to pray for her and Ian. Great guy, and pray that God would continue to use them as an example at that university of what a pure Christ-like relationship looks like. Father, thank you for what we've heard this night. We know it's because of you, not because of anything that we have done. We know that Rachel placed her faith in you because you enabled her to do that. It wasn't a work. It wasn't a result of trying to find some solution to a bad relationship. It was the recognition that came from you that she was a sinner, and regardless of the relationship she was in, should she die, she would have been destined and deserving of hell. And so we're so grateful that you saved her for your honor and glory. Use her for your honor and glory. All this, Lord, we pray in your name. Amen.